Hi, I'm Jan Barbas, and welcome to KCIW and Curry Matters. At Curry Matters, we and our guests will explore the issues that matter to you here in Curry County. With me today is Curry County Sheriff John Ward. Welcome, John.
Thank you.
John, the first time you and I met was last fall, shortly after your appointment. You extended an offer to Curry citizens to tour our jail. You began the tour with a personal introduction and told the story of how you came to be sheriff. Would you share that introduction and story with our audience?
I'd love to. I was born and raised here in Gold Beach, and I'm a native to Curry County. I started my law enforcement career in 1990 and as a patrol deputy, and I've worked my way up through being a patrol deputy for the first 12 years of went through the basic academy. I did lots of field training. I have a lot of experience with all kinds of facets of different criminal aspects of criminal law. And I believe it was 2003, I was promoted to a patrol sergeant, where I became responsible for the patrol division and supervised the number of the deputies we had back then. I couldn't tell you the exact number we had, but it was more than we have today. And from that point on, I think it was 2005. The sheriff at the time appointed me to be the search and rescue coordinator of the county, and where I brought it that division up to about 45 members, all volunteer. And from that point, I was still patrol sergeant, and then in, I think it was 2009, I was promoted to lieutenant of the patrol division. I oversaw dispatch as well, and still was a search and rescue coordinator. I've been to many, many trainings around the state for search and rescue, along with I was also appointed to the Enforcement Command Council from the Oregon State Sheriff's Association. And then I think that was in 2009. I think in, I couldn't exact what dates it were, but anyway, when Sheriff Bishop decided at the time that he was going to retire and take a position up in Oregon State Sheriff's Association as the director up there, that left the position open for sheriff. And that was 2 years into his term he was in. So I decided at the time that we needed a qualified, experienced person to become the sheriff, and I figured I would step up and take that position. And in October 1st, I was sworn in as the sheriff of Curry County.
As I mentioned, I first met you touring the jail. Tell us about the jail. What is it that you want the people of Curry County to know about our jail?
Okay, the jail is the utmost important thing that for law enforcement in our community. Without a jail, you have no law, no place to put your prisoners. So it has to be on the forefront of every citizen in this community that we have to have a jail. And the jail was built back in the days before there were standards involved as today's standards. And if the jail were to close, we would not be able to reopen it because we do not meet the standards set today as from Oregon jail standards. And the jail was built, it never was built to house 50 people as it was set to be. It's kind of a tough question. But anyway, when I took over, looking at the jail space we had a room downstairs that was originally made to be work release prisoners. Those were prisoners that were be able to go out and work in the community every day. And when they come in at night, they would have a place to stay, and they'd have a deadbolt on the door, and then in the next morning, they'd get out again. Well, that is not a secure room. It's drywalled, and it's not made to be a jail cell. So we can't count that as beds. I've taken that room out of the equation, so to speak. So The jail, like I say, we moved it down to 25 beds. We have a young staff, and we have the minimum staffing because we don't have the funds to bump up our staffing levels. We're in a liability managing issue here with the jail. We have to be able to control the jail with the resources we have. And in order to maintain the liability, we had to take the jail space down to 25. I invited the public to come in and tour the jail, let them look firsthand of what we're dealing with. And so far, I've got a lot of public comment back. You know, it says, hey, you don't need to fix this jail. You need a new jail. But we're trying to make do with what we have because it's going to be very expensive to build a new jail if we ever have to go that way.
This summer, you participated in a Marine rescue that made national news. And subsequently, Officer Terry Brown received the Award of Valor from the Oregon Sheriff's Association. Can you tell us what happened that day in June?
Yes, I can. I was home at that time. I was off duty. I got a call from dispatch saying that there was a subject in the water off Harris Beach that got pulled out by some rip currents, and that there was a deputy out there with him in the water, and they could not get back in. Well, you know, it was just all surreal at the time. I go, what do you mean my deputy's out in the water? Well, he swam out to this. There was apparently a kid that got swept out, so he swam out there to save his life or getting back in, and they can't get back in. So first thing it is, we'll get a hold of the Coast Guard, get them en route, and then call our whitewater rescue team, get them en route, and then I'll be on my way. So coming from Gold Beach, I drove down to Brookings, and when I got to Harris Beach, I could see Deputy Terry Brown probably about 100 yards offshore, and he was holding on to another person. And at that time, they'd been in the water about 35, 40 minutes. And I know, you know, from experience that how cold the water is, hypothermia can set in real fast. And normally, in a good situation, you only got about 30 minutes in that type of water till you succumb to the hypothermia. As I pulled in, I saw one of our rescue swimmers, Logan Couch. He had just got suited up and he was trying to take a little kayak board out to the to swim out there with a rope. Well, the rope kept getting tangled up in with the kayak and kept turning him over. So he just abandoned the kayak and swam out there. But the rope was too short. And when he reached, he just went ahead and reached him. Terry Brown, when he first got there, let me back up a little bit. He saw the kid out there, knew the kid was struggling, so he put on a life vest, took his duty gear off, and swam out to him. Terry could not swim back in and could not fight the current. And so, but he was the only one that was had any type of a life preserver on and knew that there will be a more life-saving efforts coming from somewhere. So he just he held on to the kid. The more they struggled to swim back in, the further they got swept out. So Logan Couch was able to reach him. He was in full dry suit gear, with protective gear, and he could maintain the water conditions a lot longer. So he was not able to help swim them back to shore either, but he held on to Deputy Brown because at that point it'd been like about 45 minutes and Terry was very hypothermic and he was becoming in and out of consciousness really as, losing consciousness. So Logan was able just to keep him afloat and keep the kid calm. The kid was doing a little bit better than Terry. And the Brookings police officers were there at the time, and they were trying to do some rescue efforts, but just nobody could reach them. And the Brookings Fire Department was also there. So when I pulled up and I saw Logan had just got out to the boy and Terry, I put on my rescue gear and my dry suit and crawled out over top of the rope, the rocks that to get to where I wanted to jump into the water. And I was able to get some more rope down and tie it on together. And then I swam out to Terry and Logan and the boy. I was able to tie a rope around all four of us. And then the people on the shore pulled us in.
Amazing, heroic tale. And it makes me wonder, you know, there's a perception that the sheriff does a lot of chasing after speeders and that sort of thing. How much of your work is responding to calls for help like that, and how much is chasing speeders?
Well, we're not traffic cops, number one. And I don't promote going out and just doing traffic and looking for speeders. We'll stop them if they're there, but we're not out there looking for them. I mean, we'll stop people that are obvious that need to be stopped. But most of our work is responding to criminal calls. We're criminal investigators. We're deputies that investigate crimes. So we respond to a lot of burglary complaints, a lot of theft complaints, trespass complaints, any number of crimes, which include domestic violence, rape, you name it. But with the short staff that we have, we find ourselves just responding to call after call after call, and we don't have time to do traffic. If we have time to do traffic, we usually pull somebody in on overtime, on a grant time, to do DUI enforcement.
You became sheriff in challenging times. How do you see the challenges for your office?
Well, we're not in the business to make money here at the sheriff's office. We don't make money here at the sheriff's office. We protect the community with our law enforcement services. And it's a challenge when there's no funding to provide those services, to hire people to, to put out on the road, to help respond to calls for officer safety, for backup purposes. I don't like sending one of my deputies out to a domestic disturbance by themselves. That's one of the most dangerous calls we have. But they do it because they're involved with their community, and we ask for help when we can get it from other agencies, but a lot of times it may be out in an area where the response time for backup is a long time. So that's one of our biggest challenges.
So can you talk a little about the history of funding and where we are now?
Well, you know, our tax rate, you know, is probably the second lowest in the state, and I believe it is second lowest in the state. Josephine's at 58 cents per thousand, and we're at 59 cents per thousand. And most other counties, they're up in there that have a tax rate that makes it sustainable for their services. Back in the day, why our tax rate was so low, we depended on the ONC funds from the timber revenues. And those funds have dwindled, and to the point of they're not getting them anymore. So with a low tax rate and no revenues, we're faced with cutting our services or coming up with a solution on how we can provide services or funding.
Thank you. A lot of folk in Curry think that having a big dog and a gun is all they need. What would you say to them?
Well, I believe in the Constitution and the Second Amendment. I have guns and I have dogs, but I don't want to have to worry about defending myself and worrying about the aftermath that will happen if we don't have law enforcement. Who's going to come in and clean up the mess? You know, you have to have trained officers that come in and deal and investigate. It's like I heard this morning at the board meeting this morning, from one of the other sheriff's office board members, he doesn't want to go through the door of what happens afterwards. You know, some of us may be able to protect ourselves, with guns and dogs and everything, but what about the ones that can't protect themselves? We have a lot of children in the community, a lot of elderly people. Who's going to protect them? So we have to have law enforcement.
At a time when people nationwide are increasingly concerned about the militarization of police agencies and a move from to serve and protect to command and obey, I've heard you speak of the value of officers who know their community. As well, you seem to be much more engaged with the community than your predecessor. Tell us about your approach to law enforcement and the steps you've taken to engage with the people.
Well, I'm a community-orientated person. You know, I was born and raised here. I've raised my kids here. I have a lot of friends, and I care about our community and the future of our community. I believe in being transparent. I believe in honesty and open, and that's my philosophy.
So you started the jail tours?
Started the jail tours and invited people to come in and see what we're dealing with. And I invite people who have questions to give me a call, come see me, see any of my staff. My staff is, you know, all buy into the same philosophy as I do. We're here to protect and serve, not that command and obey thing.
We've seen several incidences as a nation where public sentiment might lead people to feel officers have shot first and ask questions later. I think there were at least a couple of incidences in Curry in 2014 where we had armed confrontations and they ended without a fatality. Can you tell us how you achieved that?
You never know what's going to happen when you respond to a call, but we're trained. We've all been through the training and we deal with it every day on what we're going to do. We think about what's going to happen when we get there. We don't want to elevate the force at all. We want a peaceful resolution to all criminal complaints that we respond to. The two that you're talking about was, they were volatile situations, for a person with a gun, committed some several major crimes. We got as many as officers we could together. We surrounded these areas and we waited for backup. We called in a major crimes teams, and then SWAT teams, and took our time and did it by the book. And in doing so, we got a peaceful resolution out of without anybody getting killed.
I think it's a very impressive achievement. And so different from what we've seen in the media, not locally, of course, but nationwide. Lieutenant Mike Espinoza is your second in command. Tell us a little bit about Mike, if you could.
Mike came to us from Deschutes County, and he was a jail commander over there, and plus he has his executive certificate in criminal backgrounds. And he's been phenomenal for our department. He's very intelligent and he's got some experience that we really rely on. He comes from a different county, but all facing same issues. They were finding some major issues over there. They were able to he would help worked on a district for law enforcement district that now made Deschutes County one of the premier law enforcement agencies in the state.
And that leads us straight into my next question. You formed a citizens advisory board. That's another aspect of your outreach to the community. And our audience should know, by the way, that I am a member of that board. Tell me, why did you form that board and what is their role?
Well, number one, I want the people to know that it's not the sheriff's job to go out and try to find funding to fund the sheriff's office. My job is to protect the citizens and to provide the services, the jail services and civil and search and rescue. A sheriff shouldn't have to be saddled with trying to figure out where the next dollar is coming from. That is the role of the county commissioners, is to fund each department, like the district attorney's office or the elections office or the surveyors, and including the sheriff's office. So with the ever-dwindling funds, you know, over the years and down to where we're in this financial abyss and worried about how we're going to, you know, keep our jail open, how we're going to continue providing any type of law enforcement services, I felt that we needed to step up and figure out a way to help the community fund this, the jail and the sheriff's office. And I want permanent funding. I don't want to see that we're struggling from year to year trying to figure out some way to find the revenues, you know, through tax levies or whatever. So a permanent solution is the best choice in my mind. In order to do that, a permanent one would be a special district for law enforcement services for the sheriff's office. So in the last several levies, you know, I tried to keep an eye on why they failed. I mean, I think I've seen at least 10 of the last levies just fail. Nobody wants to pay more taxes. Can't afford it, whatever. And I understand that. I don't want to pay more taxes, but I want to be able to live in a place where I feel secure. I want people from out of the area to be able to show up and come recreation here and not worry about the crime rates and things like that. And I think I got off topic a little bit.
I think you're good.
Okay.
We're talking about the role of the Citizens Advisory Board.
Oh, yeah. So what I did was figure out why they failed, and then it was all because of in my mind, that people didn't trust county government. So I decided if we needed to be out from underneath county government, because people do like the sheriff's office. They realize they need law enforcement service. They just didn't trust the county government to, you know, with the money. So I figured that I would develop a board of citizens to support a law enforcement district and get them to develop the plan and then to set whatever rate they felt was fair and equitable, and then have them go out and promote this and then give me the recommendation. Then I can provide it to the commissioners so they can maybe also support it and get it on a May election or a November election, whatever it takes.
And I think we're looking at maybe a bridge funding for the short term and trying to get the special district going in 2016 or maybe possibly even 2017.
That is correct. In order to form a district, it takes time, and there's some steps that you have to go through that take time. So there's no way to get a district in place before we're fall off the cliff, so to speak. So in order to get us to that district, I think I want to like call it a first step to the district levy. And hopefully it doesn't go more than 2 to 3 years at a certain rate, and it'll help us get to our permanent funding.
John, there are a lot of people in Curry County that just feel that they just cannot afford another levy. What would you say to them?
Well, what I would say is, I understand, you know, they just can't afford to do it, but my answer would be, how can you afford not to? There's so many aspects of this that it just boggles your mind of, you know, why not?
For me, I look at the history of the West, and it's a very interesting history. We settled this land, and you watch a Western or you read a book, and it's all about the struggle to impose the rule of law on this wild landscape. And it really pits a couple of things, our very individualism and the rough pioneering spirit, but also our desire to have a livable community where the vulnerable in our community can prosper. And I think law enforcement sets the stage for a prosperous community.
Well, there's a lot of criminal element out there. And in order to be able to have a productive society, you have to have law enforcement in order to curb, you know, the criminal element, because it's out there And it can only get worse if you don't have law enforcement. It'll be a lawless society.
How do you see, what do you mean a lawless society? What happens to my store, when I'm at home and I don't have my gun?
Well, if you don't have nobody to protect your store and you don't have law enforcement there to respond if somebody breaks in, then you're out, you know, and then your insurance rate goes up. And I mean, there's a lot, like I say, there are a lot of aspects that go along with the not having law enforcement. You don't have tourism is our biggest thing here in Curry County. If it gets out that we have no law enforcement and they're not going to want to come here, and deal with, possibly getting their stuff stolen or getting in some type of confrontations or whatever. And I've never been one. I will not use scare tactics to people. I don't believe in scare tactics, but I run my business as I'm open. I'm, transparent, and I'll tell you exactly what I'm thinking or what I feel. So without, I mean, like I said, I don't use scare tactics, but I'll just tell you the facts. And the facts are without law enforcement, it's going to be a lawless society.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners? Any other, topics that, are on your mind today?
Well, I just want them to understand and that we're all in this together, and, I will be there. I will provide the best service that possibly can provide with whatever services they decide that they want to support. And whatever that is, you know, we'll do the best job we can.
Thank you, John. I've enjoyed talking with you today. And this has been Jan Barbas speaking with Curry County Sheriff John Ward for Curry Coast Community Radio, KCIW, and Curry Matters.
Thank you.